Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
welcome back to another edition of Leave the Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Felipe Leon. Felipe is running late, like usual. He is running behind. He's always stuck in traffic in Tijuana, and he's trying to get here on the radio and stuff. Hey, what a beautiful day, honestly. Over here in Northern California, where the best is at always. Got some great, great weather. I think it's like in the 80s, high 80s over here. So it's barbecue and brewski weather. So hopefully everybody out there is enjoying themselves at 6:30 Pacific time, PM. If you want to call in, you certainly can, 347-215-7598. I'll say it a little slower for those for you that didn't catch what I just said. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Let's talk some boxing here on Leaving the Ring. We have a lot of stuff to discuss. A lot of topics have came up. We got the rundown. We got the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I don't think we have a pick for the biggest douchebag of the week. So, I don't know. If somebody wants to call in and throw in their name, you can always throw a Felipe Leon under the bus and stuff. It's going to be me because for some reason, I'm a bully. I'm now a bully when it comes to having Felipe Leon on and stuff. I bully him into a corner when we're having a debate, an argument. You know, do you see that, Felipe? You got these little guys that are backing you up and stuff. Don't bully Felipe. Leave Felipe alone. Don't push him.
They understand that I'm the voice of reason on this show.
You're the voice of pendejos.
Just, you know, and you're just a lunatic with a microphone. So obviously they want to hear me.
They want to hear my views. They want to hear your views, but they want to hear my lunatic rant and when I go loony and starting to botch people's names and stuff. That's what it comes down to.
Not only names, but I'm a bully though. Countries, only names, but countries. Pretty much anything that you can.
I hold no prisoners. Exactly. I hold no prisoners, man. You know what I mean? And but that's the first. I think that's the first for me being called a. No, actually, it's not. I'm lying. I've been called a bully before and stuff, you know. But,
oh, yeah.
But you know, I mean, did you really?
Well deserved, probably as well.
I know the title now. You know, bully Dave Duenas. That's what I'm going to be called and stuff. So we had. Hey, let me tell you this. Sorry, we didn't do. I didn't do the boxing spotlight. So a lot of folks were like, hey, what happened? What's going on? Everybody taking a break from the boxing spotlight? No, a lot of stuff have been going on. So I got really, really, really busy. But we'll be back on top of things this week here. And we definitely got to cover some of the emails that have been thrown at us. It seems like the Danny Jacobs and Gennady Golovkin talk is not over yet, Felipe, for a lot of people. There's still a lot of folks, and here's the crazy part. The guy, the fans of the winner are pissed off at the guys that either scored it a draw or said it was a really close fight. So who's the bully there? Not me. I only bully Felipe when he's on the radio. But in real life, if you guys really – and let me tell you this. If you guys saw – the text and the way this guy leaves me his messages, you would really know who's the bully between the both of us.
Oh, <you're laughs>
hey, but anyways, let's really quick, let's do the rundown. Let's read off the whole rundown, and then we'll go back into each number, and we'll give everybody our take and our breakdown. But Fight Fans, you want to call in 347-215-798, you certainly can. And before we start giving you our take of what's on the list of the rundown, we'll obviously start taking some calls in. So, like, maybe 15 minutes into the show. Felipe, what you got for us?
Why don't you get it started? Because I can't find it here on my email. So, go ahead and get it started.
Wow. You're not prepared, my man?
I thought I had it. I pulled it up, but I pulled it up last week. Unless you want me to give last week's rundown.
Well, I got to pull it up, too, now. Gee, because I thought you had it all in control. You had told me, I'm going to read it. All right. And I said, okay.
I've seen a lot of people complain about you butchering not only the names, but also the
country. Oh, yeah. Now we have that. Mr. Supreme Master Felipe Leon. All right. So you're gonna get that rundown up or what?
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up, but go ahead and start up.
All right. Well, anyways, I don't have the rundown in front of me. I got to go, man. But I'm going to just go off the top of my head about, I guess, certain topics. Here's some certain things that some folks have been throwing at us. And this was obviously to our Leaving the Ring Gmail account. Is that the BJ Saunders, does it really interrupt the negotiations for Canelo and Triple G for September? Is it a good move for Triple G to do? And why is Golden Boy panicking about, you know, Golovkin deciding to go to his home country and taking on who is what? What is he, the WBO? He's a WBO. No. Is he the WBO? BJ Saunders?
WBO.
Yeah, he's the WBO champ. Yeah, so Billy Joe Saunders. And so why are they panicking? I'll tell you this. I'll give you my theory, okay, and why Golden Boy is possibly panicking about it. And I don't think they're panicking, Felipe. I don't find it for them to be panicking if Triple G decides to go for a June date and fight Billy Joe Saunders, okay?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's panicking, but they are being pretty strong with it, stating that if he does fight, they'll fight in September against Canelo's off.
Well, here's the thing where I think. The one criticism, excuse me, God damn, where did that come from? The one criticism that we've always have saw, and even ourselves, myself, I've been a critic of Golden Boy, is learning on the job. This is a new company. They're the new kid on the block in terms of being promoters. And we've seen with their past that they've made some really they're not very strategical. They've been learning on the fly. And these mistakes, they obviously have learned from, okay? And what I mean by that is that they're now paying attention to the overall, not just the little bit of business sides or what are the best matches to be made for the fans to jump up and down, but they're also understanding that sometimes there's got to be a way out game. And there's also got to be leverage and advantages, something that fight fans don't like when it's up against their guy. We saw that with Triple G and Danny Jacobs, the weight issue. A lot of them were upset about the weight. But with Golden Boy, and I could be way off in this, but I don't think I am. Remember, I like throwing out theories, and just because I'm paying attention, I'm looking at it, and I'm kind of putting myself in that position of like, if I was there, why would I have done this, or why should I do this? Okay. Well, with what we know about Golovkin is that he's got to stay active, right? This is a guy, his style, because he's going up on age, is he's got to stay active. And the one thing that we saw was last year, he wasn't as active. So he gets in there with Danny Jacobs. The most observers, most fans thought that this was going to be a quick assignment. You know, Danny was going to step in, and as fast as Danny got in the ring, he was going to get out of the ring. But what we saw was a much more into this fight. We saw things that a lot of folks were like, oh my God, this guy went 12 rounds. So obviously there's an effect. And I think Golden Boy saw that. And what they could do is weigh out the fight a little longer, make Triple G sit out, bench him, and hope that theory of what people were thinking in the beginning, it really does come into a stronger play for their guy. And that would be the advantage for Canelo. If they have a guy sit and wait and, you know, thaw out whatever he's juiced up this past, 2 weeks ago, hopefully it doesn't amp him up. It doesn't get him back into the condition that we've seen him in the past, the killer machine that we've seen him before. But it also helps play into the age where Canelo has more of the advantage. So I see that could be part of the strategy that Golden Boy is going. Drag it out the way Floyd Mayweather did it. They made mistakes by putting Marquez too early in with Floyd. They made the mistake of putting Canelo in with Floyd Mayweather. And I think that they've learned off those mistakes and learned that, hey, there are advantages of dragging a fight later down the line. Let the other guy come down from the high. Let the other guy age a little bit. You know, where they, you know, that old saying, you know, wine, fine wine ages and it gets better. When boxing, it's sometimes the complete opposite. So that's where I kind of see a little bit of why they're like, you know, saying, hey, if you fight in June, the fight's not going to happen. You know, they don't want him to be active. Felipe?
I don't think it's so much of them wanting him to be active. And when I say he is Gennady Golovkin, I just don't think they want to fight in September. And they're putting everything in play for it not to happen in September. You know, and we're going to get into it as part of the rundown, the pay-per-view undercard that has been announced for May 6th, the undercard for Canelo under Chavez Jr. And I agree with a lot of people that have been saying on social media and other podcasts that, and callers that have called in, especially on the next round this last Monday with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya, that I kind of find it hard to believe that Golden Boy and Saul Canelo Alvarez think that the fight against Chavez Jr. is going to be so easy that they're going to be able to fight Gennady Golovkin in September. I just don't
know.
See that.
That's just baffling. And you know, the thing was, the big question that a lot of folks had was, what was the weight for Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.? And you told me via text, because we were talking about it, 169 was the last report of his weight, which was reported last week, right?
By 179, yes.
Yeah, 179, yeah. You know, so, I mean, I don't know, man, but I see a determined, focused Chavez here. Why wouldn't he be? This is the biggest fight. This would be the fight for him to finally get out of the shadow of being not a serious fighter, you know, because that's been the biggest criticism, you know. Not per se the criticism of, you know, he's not talented. I think there's talent there, but the criticism of that he's not a serious, well, he's not a fighter. You know what I mean? People are like, this guy's not a fighter. He didn't come out not like his father. And I think it's somewhere in the bottom of his belly, Felipe, he resents that. He resents that, but at the same time, he keeps shooting. He's the one that has shot himself, you know, in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
But really quick, let's do the rundown, and then we'll get
back
to
the rundown, we'll go back to that. Okay, let's start off with this past weekend. We saw Jorge Linares beat Anthony Crolla twice, this time more convincingly, sending the Englishman to the canvas en route to a wide unanimous decision this past Saturday night from the Manchester Arena in England. With the win, Linares defended his WBA lightweight title. Now with this win, it looks like a fight against the undefeated WBC world champion Mikey Garcia is in the works. Do we see that fight before the end of 2017?
I don't think so, but I hope so. You know,
why
I would
not?
Hope. I think that, well, for one, we know that Mikey Garcia is a free agent. And, you know, I think with the whole Linares thing is, I don't think he's going to want to take that on right away. I think they're probably going to settle for another fight that is going to, you know, keep the momentum going and the buildup. I think the buildup is a big thing between those two, you know, with Mikey Garcia. I think Mikey Garcia needs to have another fight before getting in with Linares. Now, I know the biggest, I mean, I've criticized Linares because of his jaw, but I think there's no question from anybody, Felipe, to sit back and say that this guy is not a beauty to watch when he boxes. I mean, this guy is graceful. You know what I mean? He's the picture perfect of watching the sweet science. It flows right out of him. You know, I mean, just beautiful. But the same could be said about Mikey Garcia. When you watch Mikey Garcia, I mean, he does things sometimes perfect that it's scary.
I say I agree with you, but I think that Jorge Linares is like poetry in motion as far as his boxing style, while Mikey Garcia is just a tough, good fighter. Great boxer, but just a tough, good, smart, aggressive fighter. I don't see the fluidity. I don't see that poetry in his style.
You know, there's a poetry. I got to disagree with you. There is a poetry with Mikey Garcia's style, but it's more rough draft. Where Linares is a picture painted. It's like a Picasso, you know, Picasso or whatever the hell that shit. It's beautiful.
God.
I know. It's
beautiful. Honestly, I was gonna use poet examples. I was going to name a couple of poets and their styles, but obviously those were going to go right over your head. So I didn't even try.
Not if you start bringing up like Tupac and Ice Cube, and then I would understand that a little much more.
Now, if I was a boxing god, if by any way I would die and resurrect as the boxing god and decided what fights happen, I would want to see Jorge Linares and listen to why and tell me if you agree.
Okay.
I would like to see Jorge Linares at lightweight. Obviously, he would have the advantage, physical advantage there against Vasyl Lomachenko. And let me tell you why. Because as we already know and we researched and we found out that Jorge Linares has fought in 8 different countries throughout his career. He began his career in Venezuela. He continued
the
road in
warrior.
Exactly, the road warrior. He continued it in Japan, and his last 2 fights have been in England. Here in the United States, he has not performed since 2014, and it hasn't been on big cards. The last big card that he was in the United States was that dramatic loss against Antonio DeMarco. Okay, I believe that was on Showtime or HBO.
Yeah,
I think it was Showtime.
One? I thought Sergio Thompson was the last one.
But I was out of Mexico. He fought that in Mexico.
Yeah.
And so that was the last major card that he was in the United States. He has fought in the United States since then, but on smaller networks like Unimas or something like that. I remember seeing him fight in Sacramento live, and it was televised against Hector Velasquez, this fighter from Tijuana. So for me to go into the ring and fight with Vasyl Lomachenko, a very good fighter, a great fighter, if you want to follow pound for pound, a top 10 pound for pound fighter, but Jorge Linares would have the physical advantage. But you're going to fight a guy who is known to the boxing public and to the HBO audience. He's fought on HBO ever since he went pro 8 or 9 fights ago. You know, so if you beat Vasyl Lomachenko, then you on HBO, you raise your persona your stature in the United States to the American boxing public, and then that makes that fight against Marky Garcia so much bigger and so much more anticipated.
Absolutely. You know what? We had the four horsemen in Leonard, Hearns, Hagler, and Duran. There's no reason why we can't have the three musketeers here. You know, Linares, Lomachenko, and Garcia. Now, I agree with you. I think the fight makes tons and tons of sense in terms of going after Lomachenko. And I know the Twitter people, the Twitter police are going to go nuts when I say this. But in terms of safe, because of Linares' jaw, Who do you think has got a greater chance of landing the knockout over Linares, Garcia, or Lomachenko? Lomachenko likes to pity pat his shots before he lets his load out. You know, before he sits on his punches, we've seen him do that. You know, with Nicholas Walters. So, I would suggest that Linares, who can fight a perfect fight, Felipe. I mean, we saw that this past weekend. This guy can fight a perfect fight, and he is a poetry in motion. The thing is, you can interrupt motion, but you got to be the aggressor, and you have to be what DeMarco did. You got to do what Thompson did, and I think that Lomachenko can do that, but he leaves himself vulnerable to a Linares that can jab, that can pick and choose the spots he's going to throw punches. So to me, that seems to be more of a up in the air type of fight with Garcia. I know some folks are already saying they would pick Linares over Garcia, but I still think that Garcia has enough in the tool shed to pull off the knockout early.
I actually think, I mean, just talking about it, I actually believe that Linares has a really good chance in beating
Vasyl
Lomachenko at 135 pounds. Yes, both guys, but my prediction is, if I had to call out predictions right now, I would possibly predict that he would beat Vasyl Lomachenko at 135 pounds because he would have the advantage. And I think he is a little bit taller and longer than Lomachenko. And I think he would know how to use that advantage against Vasyl Lomachenko. But against Mikey Garcia, I go back to the same thing that I said about Daniel Jacobs and Gennady Golovkin. That Daniel Jacobs that night was the better boxer, but Gennady Golovkin was the better fighter. And I think that's the fact in this fight as well with Jorge Linares and Mikey Garcia. that Linares might be the better, more technical fighter, quicker,
right?
You know, more technical, more fundamentally sound, slightly, but the better fighter, the one with that killer instinct to finish you off as soon as he hurts you, and the punch and the jaw and the chin is Mikey Garcia.
Yep. It's Mikey Garcia, but you know, yeah, by far, and that's why I said, like, if you're gonna put the lineup, the suspect lineup, it's gonna have to be Lomachenko first, and then Mikey Garcia. I agree with you completely with that. But it's not far fetched to say that Linares can fight a perfect fight, because the one thing that we haven't seen Mikey Garcia have trouble with is with a guy that can pivot and have good footwork in front of him. That's why we think that Lomachenko is gonna be the guy that's going to give Mikey Garcia tons and tons of problems. But the eraser that Mikey Garcia can bring, and the fact that Mikey just doesn't have that one tool, you know, I don't think it's fair to try to put Mikey Garcia, I don't think we're saying that, but you know what I mean? To try to put Mikey Garcia as this puncher. He's not. He's a boxer puncher, and he's pretty damn good with being a boxer puncher.
Yeah, I mean, I totally believe it's his style, but I think the biggest – the most dangerous tool that Danny Garcia has is his ring IQ and his aggressiveness and his killer instinct. I mean, we saw it against Laddy Canny that as soon as he hurt him and he saw that opening, he was able to score that devastating punch that pretty much puts Laddy Canny to sleep. And I think that is his most aggressive and most dangerous tool for Mikey Garcia, that when he feels and thinks that he has you hurt, he's going to go for the kill.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Whereas other fighters, I think they're a slight hesitant. Like, they might have you, and they hesitate a bit because they don't want to get in harm's way, because they know that, you know, you're going to start throwing punches to try to survive. And I don't think that Mikey Garcia – I mean, I think he knows when it's the right time to go for the finish, and I think we saw that, especially in the slow motion replay of that Laddy Canny KO, which I believe still to be the knockout of the year, slightly better than Lemieux against Curtis Stevens.
I think either one of the guys, to tell you the truth, like I said, you know, because the fact we've seen with Linares is that when you're able to connect and it's at the right point or where you hit him at, you can drop him, you can hurt him, okay? I think Lomachenko can hurt him. But the big difference for Mikey Garcia is that, you know, Lomachenko to me is he's a slow, steady hammer that chips away, where Mikey, he's got more of a sledge in that hand, you know, and he can just turn that light out but he's got to land it. And he's pretty good at setting those punches up. We saw him do that. You know, granted, those are B-level guys that he's set up, you know, set those punches up on, you know, we've seen him turn out the lights of his opponents, but you know, he this is fashion, the way he does it. You know, he's got a good jab. His feet are always in perfect position. He's aware of his surrounding. He knows how to come in and out. The only thing that I think that can be, critical to him is he's so upright sometimes when he does box. You know, sometimes he kind of neglects the head movement, you know. So all three of the guys, I tell you what, I'd like to see them, all three of them, get Nicholas Walters back into the mix, get Victor Postol. He's, man, somebody sent him a postcard, you know, find out where he's at. Get them all back in the mix, because it is a very deep, strong division. It's very interesting, but those are the three standouts there for that division, 135. Even at 140, decided all three move up, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see what happens. Mikey Garcia mentioned that he was ready to face Linares in June or July. I disagree with you. I don't think that Mikey Garcia needs another fight to get in the ring with Jorge Linares. I think he's ready now. I think he proved it against Laddy Canny. Maybe Laddy Canny wasn't, you know, I mean, obviously he was not at the level of
Jorge.
Well,
did he sit and wait around, though? I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that's what I'm telling you right now. I mean, look, you know, Triple G and them are absolutely right by saying, hey, we waited for you last year with Canelo. We're not going to do it this time around. You know, we stay stale. We got to stay active. You got to put juice
June
in the
July, June and July is not that far along. It's not that far. I mean,
I'm saying, though, with Mikey Garcia. I mean, you know, do you think Mikey would think that, hey, you know, because he got guys been, on the bench for 2 years. You would think, even though, I mean, even with his stoppage, I mean, he needs more rounds. To face a guy like Linares, he needs more rounds, man, in my opinion. He's got to have a little bit more if he wants to be the victor between those two. Because I, as a betting man, I would have to bet with Linares. He's the guy that's been more active. He looks far more confident. He looks like exactly what we have drawn him out to be. You know, where Mikey, in my opinion, there's still some questions there because he hasn't been as active.
I don't agree. I think that Mikey Garcia, if he wants to face Linares next in June or July, I think he could do it. He'll be ready, and it'll be he'll be at his best.
All right, but just don't come back if he loses and all that and start crying that he should have had another fight. I'm just telling you now.
Please.
Please. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Moving
you got five
on.
Guys. Well, call in. 347-215-7598. Let's talk some boxing here on Leaving the Ring. Let's continue here on the rundown on March 29th, 2017.
This past week, the rest of the televised pay-per-view card was announced by Golden Boy Promotions for the Canelo versus Chavez Jr. fight scheduled for May 6th from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, along with the welterweight Lucas the Machine Matisse facing Emmanuel Taylor in his return to the ring after almost 2 years outside of it. Also, Jojo Diaz will face Tino Alvarez, a fellow undefeated at featherweight, and the ex-champ David Lemieux will stay busy against Mexican Marco Dorado Reyes. So with that last fight mentioned, that David Lemieux against Mexican Dorado Reyes, is this an indication that Lemieux will be the next Canelo opponent if the bout against Triple G is not made for September?
I think that's exactly. I mean, why not? You know, and listen, let me tell you this. Let me ask you this, Felipe. Honestly, I don't know why people are upset about that. It's a good freaking fight.
I like it. I like that fight.
Yeah, I like that fight. Now, if it was like, if the announcement was, well, Canelo's going to be fighting Lucas Matisse next, okay. Mm. You know, then I think fans have the right to be a little pissed off and irritated, but David Lemieux is a 160, a true 160 pounder. He just got a beautiful KO over Curtis in three rounds. So the fight reel there alone is going to sell the tickets, and it's going to intrigue Canelo fans and more fans into watching that. Now, yes, do you want to see the Triple G thing? Yes, we all do. But I think patience is a virtue when it comes to boxing business, and this is actually geared up to be a really good fight if the negotiations do not go through with Canelo and Triple G. So if this is this one fight I have to settle for come September, hey, I have no problems with that because he's going to be in it with a tough fight with Chavez Jr. And this to me is even a much more tougher fight because the big question with Chavez Jr. is how bad is the weight going to affect him? He hasn't fought in that weight in this amount of years, blah, blah, blah. Is he serious? There's so many questions that are lingering over the head of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. that has been the main focus, the focus of what is he ready? Where with David Lemieux, Felipe, I think that this is a legitimate 160 clash. There are no questions about can David Lemieux create an upset. Is he a far underdog than most people would put, like Amir Conor? No, he's a live, very live underdog in this fight if it happens to ink on September.
The only thing that I see wrong with that plan is a rematch against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. You know,
right.
if that fight is competitive in May, if it sells the pay-per-views that they expecting to sell – obviously, it's already sold out according to Golden Boy Promotions. You may or may not believe that, but it already has sold out the T-Mobile Arena. And if it sells the pay-per-views and it's a competitive fight, which I believe it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a Sergio Martinez against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. where the only competitive part of the whole fight is a minute and a half in the 12th round. I don't believe that. I believe it's going to be more competitive than that as far as the whole fight is done. So if we see a competitive fight in May, of course we're going to see a rematch in September of 2017.
Listen,
let me finish. Mm. Stop bullying me. Let me finish. If Or maybe we see, or we see a good fight. We see David Lemieux in September. We see Chavez Jr. in May again of 2018, and then we wait till September of 2018 to see Gennady Golovkin. Do you think Gennady Golovkin waits that long for Saúl Canelo Álvarez if he beats Billy Joe Saunders and captures the WBO title?
No. No. I mean, I've always said that it's not going to happen into 2018. But here's another thing, the insurance of a rematch. Again, we don't know what's going to happen in May. There is a rematch clause, okay? But who's to say that Canelo – I really honestly have to see how he comes out of this fight. Does he come out unscathed? Does he come out clean? Because I think it also has to – we have to take in consideration of the punishment. If he receives a big punishment with Chavez, there's a strong possibility he may say, you know what, I don't want a rematch because this guy's just too big. You know, the guy's too big for me. And rightfully so, he may be able to use that to his advantage of say, this guy's just too big for me. You know, I don't think a rematch is going to warrant anything because he's going to come in always bigger than me, and my punches are just not – they're not. There's no effect on that. So there's no big insurance of the rematch. You know, so I'm up in the air. I think we have to see what happens on the Cinco de Mayo weekend. And then I think we're able to really kind of pinpoint down to the nitty of who is he going to be facing in September. Is it going to be Lemieux? Is it going to be the rematch, or is it going to be Triple G? But you know what? Canelo is loving where he's at this moment because he's got to, you know, he gets to pick what direction his career is going to go.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the goal that he's always had, or he's had for a long time, or he's had since he fought Floyd Mayweather, that he wanted to be the guy in the driver's seat. And, you know, he's there. He calls the shots. He gets to decide who he fights next, obviously along with his team. And, you know, it's going to be up to him and Golden Boy. I think that Team Gennady Golovkin, K2, they've pretty much, Abel Sanchez, they've pretty much done everything that they could to try to extort some pressure on Canelo and having him face Gennady Golovkin. And here we are in almost April, and the talk has been over a year, and we still have not seen anything concrete with that fight. And now with this fight in June for Gennady Golovkin, and with the reported purse that he might be making if he takes that fight in Kazakhstan, which seems like it's going to happen, it makes it even tougher, I think, for September.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Listen, here's the thing. We got a few of these questions here. Is that some people believe that Golovkin is the A side? And then you got some people saying he's not. He's the B side. Well, listen, he's the A side as the fighter, but he's the B side when it comes to the superstar draw. Canelo, you have to make him the A side. If it wasn't that case, then the fight would have been made on the terms of Golovkin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the argument of the Golovkin fans are believing that he's the A side. Hey, I agree with you. He's the A side when it comes to the quality of a fighter he is. He's not that far from Canelo. I think Canelo gives Golovkin a lot of problems. I don't think it's that easy of a fight for Golovkin. I think because of the counterpunching and the things that the kid does, you know. But here's the thing: is that in the past it was you have to wait for the kid to develop. He's still very young. Well, I think Golden Boy have an understanding that their brand, their product in Canelo has topped. I topped at the ceiling already. It's topped out already, Felipe. I don't know if you agree with me at this, but I don't think that Canelo's going to learn any more what he's doing now. I think that he's at his peak, and this is what you're going to get out of his peak. And so they're being perfectly strategic in how to maneuver their fighter and making sure that he has complete control, not just when it comes inside the ring, but outside. Make this fighter as comfortable and have every way of him coming out with a victory. So
now let me ask you this. You say that Canelo is a tough fight for Triple G. Do you think is as tough or tougher than Daniel Jacobs?
No, I don't. Well, Danny Jacobs has got the height. He's got the reach. You know, he could box backwards. We saw, you know, I made my case about Danny Jacobs, you know, why I had it so close, why I had it a draw. Unfortunately, I'm crazy. I don't know what fight, I guess I was watching, right? I'm crazy for thinking that. But you know, watch what Danny Jacobs did. It gave Triple G a lot of problems. And like any other really good fight, when the best fighter of the world decides to fight another good fighter, well, that's why it becomes debatable, you know? And Canelo, you know, the big question is how good can Canelo be at 160? We don't know that. That's territory that is very dark. And we're not going to find out until he steps in with a guy like David Lemieux, you know? And I think that, you know, Golden Boy being smart about it, if they're implicating that David Lemieux might be
placement. We don't have to wait until David Lemieux. We're going to see it against Chavez Jr. He's going to be fighting over the middleweight limit. So we're going to see how he carries that weight. It's going to be a little bit more than the 160 pounds,
right.
But we're going to see it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see all that, you know. So, you know, I mean, so I think even with the Chavez fight, it's going to give us a little bit more where Canelo stands. But here's the thing, though, is that, you know, what Chavez brings to the table, he's a big guy. He could take a punch. He could take a really good punch, not from a light heavyweight, but I'm pretty sure he's going to take a great punch from a more natural 160-pounder, and he may walk you down. So we're just going to see a glimpse of how much of a big punch Canelo really has at 160 or 164.5, right? That's what we're going to find out. Anyways, fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598. Before we continue on the rundown, let's patch in a fight fan really quick here on Leaving the Ring. Area code of 530. 530, you're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dave and Felipe. It's ringside Robert here.
Hey, what's going on, Robert?
Not much. First of all, you know, I would love to give Julio Cesar Chavez a legitimate shot at beating Canelo. But my problem with him is, how seriously is he going to take this fight? Because his past history has proven that he doesn't dedicate himself to training. You know, he kind of goes in there and does his own thing, and it always gets him in trouble. Is this going to be the test that we all think it's going to be for Canelo? Because we don't know how dedicated Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is to this fight and how he even looks in training. I mean,
You know, Robbie, you know what I think is that too many of us are having these high expectations for Chavez Jr. I think that the Chavez Jr. that fought a Brian Vera is a good enough Chavez Jr. to give Canelo a lot of problems because of that big size. I think that size is what's honestly is in his favor, right? The scale of what's going to come out is that's going to be the big thing for Canelo to overcome. Other than that, I don't think by any means by bringing on like Nacho Bernstein or I don't care who you bring. Bring Freddie Roach back. The thing is the kid is repetitive in how he fights. Nothing's going to change at all. I don't think anything changed.
But I don't think that he needs anything beyond that to
That's what I'm saying, Felipe.
To have a good chance against Canelo. Now, to answer Ringside Robert's question, obviously, I read Spanish, and I'm able to follow a little bit of different media than people that don't.
The American
media,
I've been following
the Mexican media, and every website, every boxing website, including ESPN Deportes, which is ESPN in Spanish, have an article regarding Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and the fight. And what I've read is that the odds have gotten closer for this fight, and the reason that they attribute for why they got in tighter from 7-1 Canelo favorite to 5-1 Canelo favorite is because of the discipline and the work that has been seen Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. doing in the mountains of central Mexico. So if that gives you a little bit of an indication of how serious he's taking this fight, it is what it is.
Well, that makes me feel better, Felipe, because I was sitting here listening to you talk about a rematch and how he's going to fight David Lemieux and then go to this fighter and that fighter. And I'm thinking, you've got the middleweight champion who could have all four belts by June, and yet you have no consideration of giving him a fight. Well, I mean, I find that really suspicious by Golden Boy and Canelo, if they really don't want a shot at the middleweight title, if you're going to truly fight in the middleweight division. You know, I am a Triple G guy, and I
don't think he needs, but Rob, here's the difference is that Triple G needed that those belts to get noticed by these international stars. Canelo,
right.
In all honesty, he doesn't need those belts at middleweight. He could fight, you know, Blojo, and people are going to still come out. That's the that's the biggest difference here, you know. And honestly, it's a shitty thing in boxing, because no other sport does that. Where because the guy's the bigger draw, he's got more say of what he does next. Where the other guy who keeps proving time after time and after time. I mean, because in all honesty, Golovkin didn't have to fight Daniel Jacobs. You know, he could have just went off and doing something else and not worry about any titles lingering around him. You know what I mean?
That's not necessarily true. He had
I was just going
to
say that, Felipe.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead, Robert. Put David in the
Daniel
place.
Jacobs was a WBC or WBA, excuse me, mandatory. That's why Daniel Jacobs had that interim title belt. They made Daniel Jacobs the mandatory. He had,
well,
you
made
he
him
had
the regular
to,
champion. Right.
Yeah,
he was the
well,
regular
they
champion.
Had,
yeah.
He had to basically fulfill that, and it proved to be a good fight, because we were able to see how good Daniel Jacobs really is. Now you'll see all this talk stop about Triple G just blowing everybody out. I knew that wasn't always going to continue. I knew somebody was going to come along and show Triple G, hey, I can stay in the ring with you. I can give you as many problems as you want. Now, the way he did it by coming in way overweight on fight night, you know, that's a wonderful strategy, but I don't know how many middleweights can pull that off. You know, we do know that Canelo can gain weight. From all this talk here, it sounds like Oscar and Canelo have no intentions on giving Triple G this fight. And it makes me wonder, if that's the case, then does Golovkin just say the hell with it and move up and let Canelo have all those titles?
Well, Robert, it looks like Gennady Golovkin, I don't know about Tom Loeffler and Abel Sanchez being, you know, the more businessmen of the group, but it looks like Gennady Golovkin is saying just that. He's saying it's too much talk. You know, we've been talking about this too much. I don't care anymore. I want all the belts. I want Billy Joe Saunders. So it looks like Gennady Golovkin's gotten to that point where he doesn't even want to talk about Canelo anymore, because Canelo won't fight him. So I think that's why he's going to move on June 10th and fight Billy Joe Saunders.
Well, and you know what? The Billy Joe Saunders fight is a good fight. But I still say, if they really wanted to make this fight happen in September, Golovkin could fight in June, and he would still be ready for September. And I hate to bring this up, guys, because I'm not in support of this at all. But let's not forget, the big elephant in the room is the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight. If they decide to have that in September, guess what? Canelo isn't fighting in September. He's going to have to move that date.
Hmm.
I agree with you, but I wish it wasn't, because I believe that if you made a Canelo versus Chavez Jr. rematch, or even a Canelo-David Lemieux, or obviously Canelo-Triple G, I think that they should try to fight for the date. Obviously, at the end of the day, the decision is of the distributors, the pay-per-view distributors, and more than likely they're going to go with the
Floyd Mayweather and getting Conor McGregor, that's a no-brainer. They're going to go for where the money's at.
Absolutely.
You know?
I think that Conor McGregor, that Mayweather, I don't talk about this fight, because to me it's not boxing. So I don't talk about
right.
it. But my
opinion, guys, it's a complete circus.
But that's the thing, is that I think that it's gotten enough backlash somewhat, that maybe it would not be as successful as people think. I mean, the casual fan, I don't even know if like a true hardcore MMA fan will buy that pay-per-view, because they feel the same way that we do as true boxing fans, you know? So it's going to be all these other people that are going to be buying that. So I don't know. I think that if they put on a good competitive main event, I think they can compete with that fight.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know pay-per-view hasn't been successful since May 2nd, you know, Mayweather-Pacquiao, but I think Chavez and Canelo is going to get close to 1 million buys. I think that's how well it's going to do, just from the Hispanic population and the Mexicans alone.
Yeah, I tell you what, here in Northern California, it is big talks. You go to the regular blue-collar spots, and you talk to your fellow Mexicanos out there. That's the fight they're talking about. You know, everybody wants to see these two guys go at it. They want to finally have somebody to claim the throne. And surprisingly, I'll tell you what, Rob, is that there's a lot of Mexicans, paisas, that they're rooting for Chavez. They're really rooting for Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. to beat Canelo. Now, they're not in complete faith that Chavez can do it, but they're following who they've always grew up with, which is Senior, El Gran Campeón, you know?
Right. No, I really think that, you know, as far as pay-per-view buys, not counting McGregor and Mayweather, because that's a circus, but I think it'll be the top boxing selling pay-per-view of the entire year.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, we've said this from the beginning. Yeah, we felt like it was going to be a lot of it's going to bring a lot of people, and I think it's also going to bring back the old memories when families got together to sit around and watch a pay-per-view event. Chavez and Canelo has that type of feel, you know. Definitely.
And the undercard doesn't look too bad either. So I think people are going to get their money's worth.
I'm not all sold on that undercard.
I like the Emmanuel fight. Taylor and Lucas Matisse fight. I tell you that.
Dave, I don't know how much Lucas Matisse has left, but I don't know if Emmanuel Taylor is talented enough to show us whether he has anything left or not. That's the only problem.
Well,
he's
durable enough for us to find out by Lucas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's a pay-per-view fight. But that's a pay-per-view fight.
No, I told you that. Remember last time I told you that?
That's what I was saying.
Really, they could have put him on ESPN, not on pay-per-view.
Exactly. So Lucas Matisse's comeback fight after almost 2 years is going to be on pay-per-view. The Jojo Diaz against Tino Alvarez fight, it's a good fight. That's representative of a good pay-per-view fight, undercard pay-per-view fight. Two undefeated prospects facing each other to see who has what it takes to go to the next step. And then Lemieux against Reyes. We all know that that's a way for Golden Boy to introduce Lemieux to Canelo's audience, to show on repeat ad nauseum, the knockout against Curtis Stevens, so they can see how hard he hits and how dangerous he could be. And then he's going to score a spectacular KO over Reyes, and they're going to see it, and then they're going to sell that as a September fight. You heard it here first.
You know what? I tend to agree with you, and being a Triple G supporter, it kind of makes me sick, you know, that they're going to do that, you know?
To me, once Canelo gave up that WBC middleweight title, the only reason that we want to see Triple G against Saul Canelo Alvarez is so that, in my opinion, Triple G makes the paycheck, and it's a big fight. It's a big event. We got the biggest, most popular fighter of the day right now in Saul Canelo Alvarez, and then we got the most feared in Gennady Golovkin. But does it mean anything? No, not really, because like David has said before, you know, we don't know what Saul Canelo Alvarez does at middleweight. So, as far as an interesting fight, I don't see that as an interesting fight unless Saul Canelo Alvarez has a middleweight title, which he doesn't. Joe Saunders as more interesting.
I think we're going to get a lot of questions answered Cinco de Mayo weekend, guys.
Yes, we are. Robbie, we're going to put you back on hold, brother. Thank you again, man.
All right, talk to you later, guys.
Okay. Yeah, most definitely. We're gonna get a lot of answers on Cinco de Mayo weekend between Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and Saul Canelo Alvarez. Let's continue down on our rundown.
All right. So on our rundown, we got we kind of touched the subject, this subject, but let's get into a little bit more because I do want to talk about it a little bit more. But with Gennady Golovkin getting his win against Daniel Jacobs a couple of weeks ago, WBO champ Billy Joe Saunders has come out of the woodwork to not only challenge Gennady Golovkin again, because it's not the first time he does it, but offer
right,
an ultimatum.
Via Twitter.
Exactly. But offer, just the way you do your challenges, but that's besides the point, but offer an ultimatum for him to sign a contract by this Friday. Jacobs did mention he was willing to face Triple G on June 10th in Kazakhstan as part of the World Expo being mentioned as Golovkin's next fight.
Hey.
Is this a better fight than suggested?
It is a good fight. There's no question that this is not a good fight between BJ Saunders and Gennady Golovkin. But, you know, by having the ultimatum for him to sign a contract by this Friday is the same. It's almost in the same move that Golden Boy's doing to Triple G by saying, hey, if you fight in June, nothing's going to happen in September. I think this is BJ Saunders' way of saying, I don't really want the fight, man. Even though he said, I'll go to Kazakhstan and face him at the World Expo, right?
Wow.
But I think that he's basically saying, I don't want to do that, you know?
Did you just say Kazakhstan?
No, man. You're saying Kazakhstan.
No, you just said it. Guys,
you just said it. He just said it right now.
Hold on. listeners, I want to deeply express a heartfelt apology for my
Kazakhstan.
Co-host here.
Okay, Kazakhstan. Is that better for you?
Kazakhstan.
And I do, yes.
Kazakhstan. And I want to express.
You're not even
the
saying it right.
Kazakhstan. Whatever David Duenas says.
You just said Kazakhstan.
Whatever David Duenas says on this show does not represent the belief.
You are staining shit on the show. Once again,
of both of us. It's just him talking.
Okay.
Continue.
So, do you agree that this is BJ Saunders' chance of just kind of, point the blame game at Triple G if he doesn't follow through by Friday? I think it is.
Of course. It's the same thing that Golden Boy is doing by putting out that
right.
$15 million flat fee and saying, if you don't take it, you don't want to fight, which is ridiculous. All right. And it's the same thing that Billy Joe Saunders is doing. Now, I do see a little bit of Billy Saunders' thought process, because at the end of the day, he is the WBO middleweight champion, and that is the title that Gennady Golovkin wants. So
he's leveraging it. I understand that.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's leveraging it. Yeah.
So to a certain extent, he does have the right to demand something. Okay.
It's a petty demand. It's a bad demand that, you know what? Well, here's the thing, though. It's almost in the same frame of Canelo saying, we don't F around. Let's do it. You know, we could do it right now, blah, blah, blah. Then it doesn't go through. This is not going to be the first time, though, BJ Saunders
exactly.
is called out. Sure, like you said. So
exactly.
there's time
so
to either put up or shut up already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it's not like it's kind of like an empty ultimatum or empty demand. If he would have never called out Gennady Golovkin on Twitter, and this would be the first time that he was doing it, then it's like the boy that cried wolf. You know, you did it before, and you didn't come through. You didn't sign the contract. They sent it to you. You did it. You forgot your pen. You couldn't find your pencil. And now you want to put these ultimatums? It doesn't make sense, you know. But,
no, it doesn't. No.
But at the end
it's not even in the same. It's not even in the same conversation when Danny Jacobs called out Triple G, and they were still going through negotiations. You know, people were thinking that Danny was already pulling out. Blah 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 blah. Where BJ Saunders is not even allowing that process to happen. He's just saying you need to sign. You got to sign. Well, wait a minute. We don't know exactly what the offer is. We don't know exactly, you know, what you're willing to give up and what they're willing to give up. This is a process to this here, to have an ultimatum saying it's got to be signed by Friday. Let me ask you this, Felipe. What's the rush? If it's going to happen in June, why not get still? We should still have a window of between, you know, 30 days of figuring out all the little parts that go into a contract.
Well, I think that his logic – Billy Joe Saunders' logic is that if they don't make this fight by by this Friday, according to his timeline, then he has to go and look for something else. That he has to go look for something else, that he wants to stay active, and he doesn't want to wait for Gennady Golovkin. So he wants to look for something else. That's the logic that he's using, that he wants to keep busy. So,
I hear underneath that breath is that, you know what, I'm just talking out of the other end, and I really don't want this fight. Not right now. You know, doing the it's the Golden Boy move. This is the Golden Boy move in a lot of ways, in my opinion.
Now, my question here to you and to our listeners, if you want to call in at the number 347-215, what is it, 7598?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to call in, give us their take as far as this. What happens, let's say this fight goes through in Kazakhstan on June 10th at the World Expo. You know, Gennady Golovkin is pretty much the Manny Pacquiao of Kazakhstan. I mean, name something else that comes from that country. I don't know. Heroin?
No.
Opium? I don't know. I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know. Hey, I don't know what else comes from that country.
All right.
But in that region, it is known that there's a lot of opium. I think you could research that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But Gennady Golovkin is the biggest thing to slice bread in that country, in Kazakhstan. So the government, according to some sources, one being our colleague Steve Kim, who spoke to his source, Tom Loeffler of K2 Promotion, is that the offer that is being made to Gennady Golovkin as his purse for this fight on June 10th is a $10 million. So what does that do to the offer by Golden Boy Promotions of $15 million, supposedly, to fight Canelo Alvarez? That this is the biggest purse that – it's three times the biggest purse that Triple G has ever earned, has ever made. So he should just take the fight because he's going to make the most money ever. So coming on June 11th, if this fight goes down and Triple G has a check for $10 million in his pocket, what does that mean to that $15 million offer? Because
it waters it down.
Yeah, not only is he going to be fighting at home for the WBO title, but he's going to be making $10 million. So what's your opinion on that?
I mean, I think my opinion is exactly what your opinion is going to be, is that it waters down that $15 million offer. Now, Golden Boy, and they're going to fire back saying that, you know, well, Triple G is really not the pay-per-view draw. It's not the real pay-per-view star that some people want to draw him out to be. Yeah, okay, I can give him that. But this guy, I think the perception of what we want to consider a big star is that big crossover. Because, you know, when you start thinking of, he's doing what, Apple commercials, he's doing this. Well, those are the guys that are backing him up. They're paying for this, right? They're getting him out there, and they're hoping that the brand sticks, right? But what a fighter does best is he fights. And there's no argument there when it comes to Triple G, when it comes to Gennady Golovkin. He fights. Fight fans adore him because he does exactly what he sets out in the ring on fight night. He goes out there and tries to take off your head. Now, granted, it's not in the fashion sometimes we all wish it would be, and we're going to pick and choose why it didn't happen, but he does his job, right? Now, when you get offered $10 million from your country, I think that's such precedence of value right there to me, Felipe, right? It tells me he's a big enough star in his country, you know? And when you do that crossover back to your countrymen, well, they're willing to pay that money, willing to dish out that money. Well, then you can start looking at the United States as, well, I don't really need you then. You know, I really don't need you to put that leverage over me now. Manny Pacquiao was one of the first guys that kind of showed that. Well, I don't need to come to the United States to fight. I don't need to fight in Vegas. It was all for tax purposes, but he kind of proved that. There's other countries that are willing to pay me a lot of money, and I'm going to go where the money's at. At the end of the day, these are prize fighters, you know? And they're putting their lives on their line, and they're trying to make as much money as they can for the value of the entertainment that we ask for. So, $15 million, well, you lost your chance, Golden Boy, if that's the case, because it's been completely watered down and washed away when it comes to your logic by saying that this guy's not a pay-per-view draw. He's a draw somewhere,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You know?
And let it be stated that the fight still has to happen on June 10th, and those $10 million
right.
still have to materialize. I mean, if he ends up getting paid $8 million or he gets paid $7 million to fight in Kazakhstan, then, you know, it puts that $15 million a little bit more in perspective as far as Golden Boy's offer. But if it's a $10 million fighting at home and for the WBO title, then I think it really changes the way that people will see those $10 million, those $15 million, if that is actually the offer made by Golden Boy for that fight in September. But to me, with the David Lemieux on the undercard, and by the way things are looking, I think we're farther away from that Gennady Golovkin fight for September of 2017 than we are close to it.
Look, when Sergio Martinez decided to go to Argentina, back to his home country, and fight on HBO, wasn't pay-per-view, they sold out that arena. The Expo and Golovkin's home country, it's going to probably sell out. I don't know how many seats. Do you know how many seats? How many seats that's going to be? And
well, I don't know. I don't know what the venue is or anything like that. But being that it is, I mean, I'm sure they're going to sell it out, give away. It might be free. Who knows? You know, it might be the government. You know, it happens in Mexico. The government puts up site fees
right.
in Mexico all the time. So it might be the government putting up the site fee and giving away the tickets. Who knows?
Yeah, but you know, in terms of the atmosphere, you know, I mean, he may end up settling like, hey, I like it out here, and I'm being treated exactly the way I felt I should have been treated over here in the States. I'm being treated like a king.
Well,
you know,
I don't know. I don't know if the government of Kazakhstan can shell out $10 million every time the Gennady Golovkin fights in their country. So let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, no, but what I'm saying though, if look, $10 million now. And he makes another couple million right after that for lesser fights. Why not stick on? I mean, if you have to wait out another year or two for Canelo and do everything by his terms, dude, you're going to be broke.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So why not go out, go back to his home country, fight there. And like I said, if you're being treated different and you're being treated like the way you should be treated here in the States, why not? I mean, you know, like I said, I honestly have to tell you this. I don't think neither one of these guys need each other, to tell you the truth. You know, I think that we have made this like whole facade that only way Triple G is going to be a star is he fights Canelo, right? I've never believed that because Canelo's never fought at 160. This was a name that got attached. They've been attached to him, though.
I think they do need each other to a certain extent to make the biggest purses that they can make right now. You know, what other fighter can you face Canelo Alvarez that's going to bring – I mean, Chavez Jr., that's a thought, you know.
But it takes two to tangle, though. And that's
yeah.
what I'm saying, though. Like, you know, I think that at a point right now where Gennady Golovkin's at is like, listen, man, I've done everything possible to try to make this fight, you know. And you can honestly – I was listening to one of his interviews, and you can honestly kind of see it in his face expression. He's like, fuck, I'm tired of talking about this guy. He doesn't want to fight me. Like, what do you want me to do? You know, the only thing next that the guy can go do is try to mess around with Canelo's old lady to force him. Now it becomes something personal. But I don't think that Gennady has that in him. You know, he's got more of the good boy image, so he's going to go the good boy road. He's not a trash talker. He trash talked, you know. He's got the Manny Pacquiao type of stigma about him. You know, he's a nice guy. He's got a little bit of chemistry with his smile. The broken English, but other than that, you can't label this guy with a black hat.
No.
So there it is.
Yeah, well, let's see what develops. I mean, obviously, Friday is a deadline that Billy Joe Saunders has placed on Triple G or Team Triple G. I personally have not seen anything as far as Tom Loeffler answering that deadline. Have you seen anything like that? Hello? David, you there?
Okay, well, we're back on.
I got you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was my internet. But it kicked everybody off.
Oh, it happened on the next round too.
Yeah, it just showed me a page right now that said to end show, and I was like, no. Okay. Anyways, let's continue on our rundown here. Let's go down the line here.
Let me see here. Give me 1 second. Freddie Roach, the legendary Freddie Roach at the Wildcard Gym, has gone on record to say that he would be more than open for his prized pupil, WBO welterweight champion Manny Pacquiao, to face the newly unified WBA, WBC champion Keith Thurman. Can this fight really happen, David?
I want it to happen. I think anything is possible because the miscommunication between Manny Pacquiao and Bob Arum, they're saying that the Jeff Horn fight is still a strong possibility. And then if that fight, goes through, then the fight with the WBA and WBC champion, Keith Thurman, could be a strong possibility. I want to be hopeful and say that it could happen because this is a big fight that people would want to see. Is it a big fight for – look, it's a bigger gamble for, I believe, for Top Rank, and they might be hesitant because they obviously would want the torch to be passed. If there was going to be a torching pass for Manny Pacquiao, they wanted it to be passed to, Terrence Crawford, not their competitor, which would be Keith Thurman, right?
Yeah. I think the only way that this fight can happen is that if Bob Arum, one way or the other, is in complete control of the whole promotion, obviously, like you mentioned.
That's why I think it's a strong possibility, Felipe, because what we've seen with Heyman and PBC is they are willing to make fights happen. Their dollar is not involved. They don't have to deal with the TV negotiations. They don't have to deal with putting the emotional money on. They don't have to deal with having the fighters there. Get their wish on controlling and go back to risk passing the torch for competitive, but it actually go to Terrence Crawford.
You broke up a lot. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me well? You there? Mm-hmm.